During the steelmaking heyday, Youngstown was a city of almost 200,000. Now it's less than 60,000. We know what happened. The steel mills closed in the 1980s, people left, and no one replaced them. So today there are a lot of empty buildings and decay in Rust Belt cities like Youngstown. What's next? Steve Paulson sat down with urban planner Justin Hollander.
Justin, you are a prominent advocate of an urban planning idea called smart decline. What's the basic idea here?
Well, if a place is losing population, losing jobs, then the immediate public policy and planning response has always been, well, we've got to change that. We have to now turn this place around, bring new jobs, attract more people, and that'll solve it. The problem is that if you look historically, that rarely works. Instead, millions, tens of millions, billions of dollars are spent, wasted in this effort, and these places tend to continue to depopulate. And so then you have vacant buildings, you have vacant lots, you have just a general sense of a disinvestment. And so I'm not of the belief that it never works to try to rebuild and re-energize a place to be able to bring jobs back and bring people back. It's not that it never works, but it rarely works. And so when cities are facing such a problem, it's prudent to consider this, as you said, the smart decline approach as an alternative to maybe run concurrently with maybe that kind of traditional economic development approach.
Are you saying some old cities just need to die?
Not die, but the forces that are generating lower number of jobs, less people over time, those forces are larger and more powerful than the typical tools available to local governments to fight. So what we're really most often concerned about in urban planning is the quality of life for the people who live in a place. And so if you're dealing with population decline, if that's a real thing, if jobs are leaving, a mayor will typically say, well, let's like try to recruit a new steel mill to come in. I mean, like
right.
Something that's going to really change the economic dynamic. But that is usually really ineffective. And even if it works, it's so expensive. The study I did looked at a project in Florida where they spent $1 million per job to bring a company to the region. So it's just a question of, what are your outcomes? And your outcomes are you want to have a place where people have a high quality of life, where they enjoy where they're living. Maybe bringing more people and more jobs is not the answer. And that's what smart decline is all about.
Well, let's talk about an example here. And probably the most prominent example of this whole idea of smart decline is Youngstown, Ohio. So city officials in Youngstown are actually trying to make the city smaller? I mean, are they encouraging people to leave the city?
So many things were tried. They tried bringing prisons into the city. They tried a stadium. They tried a concert hall. They tried all these things that were going to be like the magic bullet that was going to save the city. And nothing worked. And they finally, as a community, came together on this idea that we don't need to be bigger. We just need to be better. And let's try to find a way to do that. But politics has gotten into it. And I think my understanding is the current efforts are a little bit stalled. So I would encourage you instead to look to Detroit, where these ideas have really come in full force. And that's like a case study of today, right now, where smart decline is in action.
Okay. Well, tell me about that then. I mean, what's successful in Detroit?
It started off with a real data-driven effort to understand and characterize what was going on in the city. And this happened about 5 or 6 years ago. And this was driven by foundations who are looking to try to turn the city around. That resulted in a plan, Detroit Future City, real community-based effort to try to understand what do people care about and what do we want in our future. And that plan did something which was really unique. Even though the Youngstown plan was bold, Detroit's was even bolder. And Detroit being really such a major American city, it said that it was okay that parts of the city did not grow, and it's okay if parts of the city became less dense.
So what else can a city do? I mean, I'm wondering what specific urban policies can be put in place that would carry out this smart decline.
Yeah, so if you look at most zoning codes in most American cities, residential districts you're really only allowed to have houses. So if a house burns down, there aren't too many options. You kind of have to build a house there, or you don't do anything, and then the grass grows really tall, and it becomes a place where people dump, and it becomes a blight on the neighborhood. So I know Youngstown right now is wrapping up. They've been doing a zoning overhaul, and that's really been a key feature of it. Cleveland, Ohio just redid their zoning a couple years back and really brought in urban agriculture to say it's okay that places that people aren't moving to get turned into agricultural uses. That's, I think, the biggest driver of kind of rebuilding and redesigning cities that are shrinking.
So part of it is just to acknowledge that parts of the city will become much less densely populated. Fewer people will live there. They might turn some of their land into farming, basically. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different types of uses that would make sense. I remember actually I talked to a reporter from Time magazine about this, and he was actually there, and that's what Smart Decline is all about. She's working out of a house and had been abandoned, but they fixed it up in Detroit. And he was asking me, a Smart Decline thing, what is this all about? And I was like, well, you're living it, because the idea that you could turn a house into an office building for journalists, that's explicitly not allowed in just about every major American city. Allowing it, saying that that's okay. It's okay to turn houses into offices. It's okay to turn them into artists' studios. These are all really attractive uses for places that are losing population.
So suppose a city, whether it's Detroit or Youngstown, really follows the script that you've laid out, and it works. In the best scenario, how will the city change in the next 10, 20, 50 years?
The quality of life living in that place is going to improve. Then the word gets out, and ultimately that can feed into long-term investments.
But are you talking about, I mean, what was once a big city then becomes a small city, but a very attractive small city?
You got it. That's exactly right.
Do
you want me to put in my words?
If you want to expand at all, that'd be great.
What maybe had always been very high density, where everyone was cheek to jowl, mixed in with each other, maybe that's not the case anymore. Maybe all of a sudden people have a little more space. It's a safer place. It's a place where there's not the kind of crime that's happening in all these abandoned and untended places. The relationship between people and nature is better, that you can create economic opportunities through farming. But let's not measure the success of the city by its population. Let's not attribute growth to better welfare. And that, I think, you know, is where the better future is, where we're looking at the quality of life of the people and not those indicators.
Justin Hollander is a professor of urban planning at Tufts University. Steve Paulson talked with him.